this on.
Shaito asuchi prayanke jantuhu svejada dushite neshaha kadyuna anganam asana uttana chetane shaito asuchi prayanke jantu svejada dushite नेशः खण्डूयने अङ्गानाम् आसन उत्थान चेस्तने शायित असुचिर प्रयांके जन्तु स्वेजद दुष्यते नाशे नशे नेशः खण्डूयने अङ्गानाम् ఆసన ఉత్తాన చేస్తనే వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ మీనింగ్ షాయితః లేట్ డౌన్ అశుచి ప్రయాంకే ఆన్ అ ఫౌల్ బెడ్ జంతుః ద చైల్డ్ స్వేదజ with creatures born from sweat, dushite, infested, na ishaha, incapable of, kanduyane, scratching, anganam, his limbs, asana, sitting, uttana, standing, chestane, or moving. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Laid down on a foul bed infested with sweat and germs, the poor child is incapable of scratching his body to get relief from his itching sensation, to say nothing of sitting up, standing, or even moving. Purport. It should be noted that the child is born crying and suffering. After birth, the same suffering continues and he cries. Because he is disturbed by the germs in his foul bed, which is contaminated by his urine and stool, the poor child continues to cry. He is unable to take any remedial measure for his relief. We'll read text 27 as well. Please hear. Tudanti atma tvacham damsa mashaka matkuna adayaha rudantam vigata jnanam karmaya kriminam yata karmaya krimikam yata tudanti, they bite. Ama tvacham, the baby whose skin is soft. Damshaha, gnats. Mashakaha, mosquitoes. Matkuna, bugs. Adayaha, and other creatures. Rudantam, crying. Vigata, deprived of. Jnanam, wisdom. Kramayaha, worms. Krimikam, a worm. Yata, just as. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In his helpless condition, gnats, mosquitoes, bugs and other germs bite the baby whose skin is tender, just as small worms bite a big worm. The child, deprived of his wisdom, cries bitterly. Purport. The word vigata jnanam means that the spiritual knowledge which the child developed in the abdomen is already lost to the spell of maya. Owing to various kinds of disturbances and to being out of the abdomen, the child cannot remember what he was thinking of for his salvation. It is assumed that even if a person acquires some spiritually uplifting knowledge, circumstantially he is prone to forget it. Not only children, but also elderly persons should be very careful to protect their sense of Krishna consciousness and avoid unfavorable circumstances so that they may not forget their prime duty. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So we're continuing to see the precarious condition of the child which is born, and we saw how the unclean and very environment which is not very conducive to human existence, that's where the child is put into, and it is subject to various sufferings, and because there's no other person to go to, and the senses are not being so distracted in various directions, the child was able to meditate and pray to the Super Soul, who is accompanying the child even in the mother's womb. So then we saw how spiritually advanced the child is. It's mentioned not all of the children play like that, but some of them do. And we are able to see from the prayers offered by the child, it is resolved to get out of this material world. And at one stage it says, I don't want to come out also. And later we see how it is forced to come out of the mother's womb. And the verses that we discuss today talks about the helpless condition of the child. Things are happening around the child, but it is beyond the child's control. And it is going to a certain point where the child is so helpless, it is not able to even scratch its own back, forget about even standing up. So in that connection, the precarious condition of the child is brought out. Now, as soon as the child comes out, the threefold miseries of Maya are starting to attack. You can see here how the miseries caused by other living entities are playing a predominant role of making the child forget its previous prayers. It is said that if a person is losing his memory, one of the reason of losing memory is childbirth. So at the time of birth, due to the force of the activity of taking birth itself, that makes a person forget. Then after that, in this verse 26 and 27, we see how other living entities are starting to impose their pain on the small child. So that makes a person forget his actual spiritual position. So Maya is starting to play her role by putting the child into misery. And because of that, what is happens to the child is that child which had the spiritual knowledge, Vigata Jnanam means, Prabhupada writes in the purport to 27, that spiritual knowledge the child developed in the abdomen is already lost in the spell of Maya. Now why is that happening? Is because of the disturbances around the child. That child which prayed for salvation, now it is in a helpless condition, and now it is thinking and all that is diminished, and only thing it can do is helplessly cry. Prabhupada interestingly brings out how a person might have acquired spiritual knowledge by some means, but he will forget it in certain circumstances. And Prabhupada warns not only the child, but even grown-up persons may forget that spiritual knowledge which you have gained due to circumstance. Not only children, but also elderly persons should be very careful to protect their sense of Krishna consciousness. So first aspect that is being said is, we must protect our Krishna consciousness. And the second aspect that is being brought out is, we should avoid unfavorable circumstances that may not put us in a situation where we forget our prime duty. So the prime duty of human life is to attain salvation. So we will try to focus on how one has to protect oneself, how to protect one's Krishna consciousness, and how to act when you are put in unfavorable circumstance. So bhakti literatures, especially Nectar of Instruction, gives a series of steps that you should be avoiding so that the seed of bhakti that you got from the spiritual master, which you should be protecting by constant hearing and chanting, which acts as the water to the bhakti creeper. If you do certain activities, that bhakti process will be adversely affected in a way that is probably very damaging. So what are the items that we should be careful of is listed, and probably we'll try to focus on few of them today. First is the Atyahara aspect. His Grace Anirudha Prabhu covered about Atyahara, about overeating, so few classes ago on Saturday. So I'll probably focus on the other meaning of Atyahara, which is collecting more funds than required. Rather than describing the actual activities or actual impediments, today what I thought I'll focus is more about how to deal with them, deal with those impediments. So if you think of Atyahara, over collecting funds that are more required, so how do we deal with that? Purport from 5th canto, 26th chapter, 36th verse, Prabhupada explains. Money is also called Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is always engaged in the service of Narayana. Whenever there is money, it must be engaged in the service of Lord Narayana. Everyone should use his money to spread the great transcendental movement of Krishna consciousness. If one does not spend money for this purpose, but accumulates more than necessary, he will certainly become proud of the money he illegally possesses. The money actually belongs to Krishna. So therefore, nothing belongs to anyone but Krishna. One who possesses more money than he needs should spend it for Krishna. Unless one does so, he will become puffed up because of his false possession, and therefore he will be punished in the next life. So this is the description of hellish planet. So it tells about how a person who over accumulates, what does he has to go through. The principle that Prabhupada is bringing about here is, you are trying to collect funds, but actually funds are Lakshmi. And Lakshmi is a property of Lord Narayan. So it has to be used in the service of Lord Narayan. And if you are trying to over-accumulate and use it for your own sense gratification, then you will end up in hell. So this knowledge of what will happen if I over and over and over-collect, that will put a check on our endeavors for collecting more funds that are required. closely related to collecting more funds. If you want to collect more funds, the next impediment is you have to put lot of endeavor, which is called as prayasa. Over endeavoring for mundane things which are very difficult to obtain. So how do we deal with that one? The purport, which is actually from Lord Kapiladev's teaching, when he talks about the aspect of being satisfied, he tells that as an antidote. So we can use satisfaction as a quality, as an antidote for over endeavoring for mundane things, which is prayasa. This is from 3:27:8. A devotee should only work for such income as is absolutely necessary. He should be satisfied always with such income and should not endeavor to earn more and more simply to accumulate unnecessary things. A person in a conditioned state who has no money is always found working very hard to earn some with the object of lording over material nature. Kapiladev instructs that we should not endeavor hard for things which may come automatically without extraneous labor. The exact word used in this connection is edircheya, means that every living entity has a predestined happiness and distress in his present body. This is called the law of karma. It is not possible that simply by endeavors to accumulate more money, a person will be able to do so. Otherwise, almost everyone would be on the same level of wealth. So from this purport, we understand that we are allocated a certain amount of happiness and distress as per our karma. Just by putting extreme endeavors to gain more wealth, we may end up getting distress rather than the actual happiness. So the quality of satisfaction, if we develop that, that will act as an antidote for the over-endeavoring, prayasa. The second way of dealing with prayasa is coming to an understanding that no matter how hard I try, material conditions cannot be improved. And by that understanding, we can curtail our propensity to over-endeavor. So that is also coming from another purport. This is from 4th Canto, 29th chapter, verse 32. One should simply try to develop his Krishna consciousness and not waste his time trying to improve his material condition. Actually, the material condition cannot be improved. The process of improvement means accepting another miserable condition. However, if we endeavor to improve our Krishna consciousness, the distresses of material life will disappear without any extra effort. Krishna therefore promises, Kaunteya prajidanehi name bhaktaha pranashyati. One who takes to the path of devotional service will never be vanquished, despite all miseries of the body and mind, and despite all misery brought about by other living entities and providence, miseries which are beyond our control. That's what's happening to this child who is suffering from miseries which are beyond his control. So Prabhupada here explains how, by coming to a philosophical understanding that no matter how hard I try, I cannot improve my material situation. But if I endeavor, I put that same effort to improve my Krishna consciousness, then the material miseries will automatically be eliminated. So then we'll move on. Now that we have looked at Atihara and Prayasa, so we'll look at the activity of talking unnecessarily, which is prajalpa. I came across this interesting section from Narada Bhakti Sutra, which is a given translation purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada, which is like the exact medicine for overcoming prajalpa. So the verse Narada Bhakti Sutra 63 talks about how Maya works in this material world and what should be avoided. So it talks about sex, then about accumulating money. All these are to be avoided, and the persons who do that also have to be avoided. Then interestingly, the disciples of Prabhupada bring about this practical point. Okay, so now that I should not talk anything, then should I go and live in a cave or should I live in a vacuum? So they write, we cannot expect to follow Prabhupada's advice in a vacuum. Unless we have Krishna conscious friends to talk with and a society of devotees to live in, we might conclude it's impossible to avoid hearing talks of sex, money and atheists. What am I supposed to do? Live alone in a cave or what? But after that, they give the actual remedies of how the propensity to talk can be used in a productive way, and in fact they could be used as weapons for fighting against Maya. So those same weapons which Maya is using to capture us, the disciples of Prabhupada explain how they can be used to defend. Our weapons in campaigns against prajalpa and mind pollution may include novels, dramas, paintings, films, musical recordings, festivals, formal lectures, seminars, and casual meetings, all centered on Krishna. Why should the forces of illusion possess all the weapons and not the devotees? So, here we have got a whole series of constructive ways in which our propensity to speak, our nature to share things with others is being used, and it is used in a way where we can protect ourselves and we can also help others. So the things that are listed, we see why Prabhupada and his disciples are writing volumes and volumes of books and giving it out to others. And not only that, we also see various ways by which preaching is done, by enacting dramas, whereby the propensity of the public to see something great and to see some entertainment, and simultaneously the message of Krishna consciousness is powerfully packed through those dramas. We have His Holiness Bhakti Mark Swami and His Holiness Indradhunya Swami doing a lot of dramas and thereby spreading Krishna consciousness. The next thing is about paintings. These paintings that we see in Prabhupada's books, they are actually like the windows to the spiritual world, whereby we get a sneak peek of, okay, this is how the spiritual world will be. These are the activities that are going to happen in the spiritual world, and you see yourself getting qualified to enter into those pastimes by just looking at those paintings. So our propensity to see beautiful objects, so the eye wants to see beautiful things, so that is being satisfied, and simultaneously the image of Krishna and his pastimes are entering into our mind through these paintings. So whoever has got those talents, and this is also a way of expressing yourself, and you're speaking to others through those paintings. Then obviously we have those devotees who have a lot of musical talent. They can go ahead and do the musical recordings and release albums. If the outside world can throw so much into YouTube and SoundCloud, why not we? And the Kirtan Melas, all that's happening, later on they get recorded professionally and they are being put. So again, we are counteracting our propensity to speak things, at the same time we are pushing forward the Krishna conscious movement. So that is one way of avoiding prajalpa. Another point which the disciples of Prabhupada mentioned in that section is, it is certainly not easy to avoid all mundane sound vibrations, but under the guidance of a pure devotee, we may create a pleasant and easy to take atmosphere of Krishna Katha in the home and with friends, even when driving a car or at work. And this hearing will lead to Vishnu Smaranam. or remembrance of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this brings us to the point of how do I take it from a point of having a good sadhu sangha, a strong morning program, how do I take it to the point where I have to go to the external world and work to make a living. So while going, actually also you can, as mentioned here, you create the atmosphere where you can hear Krishna Katha and Kirtans. So there are so many ways and gadgets which are used to communicate and for entertainment. So among the list of tracks that you're going to listen, if Kirtans are going to be prominent, and if the lectures that you want to hear, if you don't have time while commuting, it's a good way of making use of that commuting time, whereby you are entering into a circle of protection. Because you feel protected when you are with the devotees and when you are in the temple environment, but how do you carry on that same protection? And you know that you will be put into unfavorable circumstance. So it is better to be prepared to go into those unfavorable circumstances rather than going unprepared and getting beaten up by Maya. So one way of carrying forward that circle of protection is by listening to lectures and kirtan when you are commuting to work. Now, that brings us to the point of now you have gone to the outside world and you have to associate with them. You cannot wear a blindfold and work in your own unless you are privileged to work from home, like some devotees have the privilege of working from home. But some of them have to go to the outside world and earn a living. So that's when the aspect of jana sangha is being brought out. How do I not get overwhelmed by the association of people who are not Krishna conscious? So that is again the two aspects of protecting yourself and avoiding an unfavorable circumstances. So the remedies for unfavorable or protecting from unfavorable association is that we take strong association of devotees when these circumstances are favorable, hear from them and remember the teachings so that through that knowledge you are protected and you avoid bad association by remembering the instructions of good association. And when we are in good association, we must make the best use by asking questions, inquiring and remembering those instructions and carrying forward when we are in unfavorable circumstance. The unfavorable circumstances could be at our study or at our workplace. So when we are entering a college or an office, if we are focused on the purpose for which we are going there, we are not going there to fulfill our social needs. We are not going to a college or an office whereby we can have a good time, socialize with them and get association with them. We are going there for a purpose. When we are fixed on the purpose for which we are going, then it becomes clear when then you can make a you can draw a line to the extent where I should expect things. So I don't expect to get association from these people, because my social needs of getting association is already fulfilled in spiritual circle. So if we go with that expectation that clearly this is what I'm going for, and I don't expect a big circle of friends in my college or in my office, that's not my purpose. So if you're clear with that and you're entering that unfavorable circumstance, so that's like the first step. You are clear with what you're going for. Then we should not come to the point of being superior to those people who are non-devotees. You should not be going, okay, I'm a devotee, everyone else is a non-devotee. If you enter your college or your workplace with that superiority superiority complex, with that mentality, the environment around you will become hostile. Because people can easily understand by the way you're behaving and your attitude towards them. You are thinking that my bhakti will be curbed, or I will not be able to protect my bhakti. So therefore, I will maintain a superior position and thereby avoid them. Think of them as some junks and very abominable persons. If you have that attitude, actually you haven't learned the philosophy correctly. Actually, it is a test for our bhakti when we are put in unfavorable circumstance. Rather than you going in with such negative feelings, if we start to look at the outside world from that vision of a sadhu, vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini suni chaiva swapakecha pandita sama darshana. So you can do two things. You can think how favorable I am, how actually I am blessed by the association of devotees, so that I am able to understand the nature of other living entities also, and how how miserable they are, but I must be in a position to help them. Rather than looking down upon them, you can start to see the good qualities in people around you. That's what you are meant to look for. Even in the body of a dog eater, even in the body of a dog, in the elephant, you are meant to be a sama darshana. So in that sense, you curb your mentality of being superior, even though it's an unfavorable environment. You curb your mentality, you become humble, and now you start to see among the circle or among your colleagues or among your friends in the college those who are in the mode of goodness. If you're starting to see, you will definitely find people even in a work environment, those who are in the mode of goodness. Some students who will come to the college, they'll be very focused on their studies, they'll be disciplined, and they have come here for a purpose, they're very clear. And there'll be some colleagues who will be in the mode of goodness. So they come and they don't engage in too much of mundane talk. And they would also like to have moral values. And when you find such people, instead of posing your superiority complex, if you bend and make friends with them, so you have a circle of friends, one or two, that's sufficient. So that the environment is not very hostile to you, and you have a few friends and you are satisfied with them, and you are able to have, you are fulfilling your social needs. You are not like an island when you are entering the office or a college. So first step is you become humble, you start seeing the good qualities in others, and you choose people that you want to associate with, and thereby create an environment where you are not being hostile to others. So our behavior should not be very aggressive, because we should show those saintly qualities, and by showing, you will attract people in your work environment where you can have a handful of them is sufficient. As I mentioned earlier, we are not going there to have good time with the circle of friends. We are going there, we are focused on the purpose, study, come out, work for a certain period of time, then have few friends, then you come out. In that way, you are preventing yourself from being affected by them. Now, the challenge is that there will be certain people in the work environment who will behave unfavorably with you, who will criticize you. So, in that circumstance, we need to take up the quality of tolerance. Because if you are claiming yourself to be a saintly person, what are the qualities that you need to exhibit, even at workplace? It's not that when you wear the attire of work, you become a demon. No, you are still a saintly person, but for maintaining your home, which is also a Vaikuntha, you're going for a job. So when you're faced it with people who are unfavorable to you, you exhibit tolerance. The harsh words that are being spoken, the harsh criticisms, the gossips, all that, you tolerate. And second thing that you can do is, you neglect them. You don't have to let the criticisms or the negative environment outside you to get into your consciousness and affect your inner purity. So that is why you're going prepared. Even when you're going, you are having layers of protection. And if you have your own cubicle, you make that spiritual. Many people fancy having their dogs, picture of their dog in their cubicle. So why don't you put the picture of God in your cubicle, picture of your spiritual mentor, your spiritual master, in your cubicle, and make an environment so that when you hear those unfavorable comments, criticism, you can take shelter of Guru and Krishna. Then you neglect them. Over a period, if criticism is being neglected and they find that you are sticking to your principles and you are going steady, over a period, even those people who are criticizing you, who are neglecting you, will start to respect you. Because you are fixed in your purpose. And you know what you are in the workplace for. And your superiors will actually notice it. How you are not getting into mundane talk, mundane office gossip. And the professors and those, they can pick up students who are shrewd. And if you are in the association of other students and other colleagues who are focusing on the goals, then what you are actually doing is you are actually creating a good association. And then over a period, you can start to introduce Krishna consciousness to them. When they ask you, how are you able to tolerate these provoking situations, then you can tell them that, I am able to tolerate all this by practicing spirituality. It is not uncommon among the top successful people in this, even the Success Magazine, which is like the association of all the top success people, and most of them have some spiritual practice. So, these are the ways by which you can enter into a hostile environment, in an unfavorable environment, and thereby you protect yourself. Now, this doesn't mean that you become too passive. Wherever you need to be assertive, you need to be strong in your stand. What needs to be avoided is being aggressive. So that balance you can acquire by having a strong sadhana. So by protecting your Krishna consciousness in the morning sadhana and all that, and by being prepared to go into an unfavorable circumstance with all these practical tips, and using those unfavorable circumstances to take shelter of the Lord. That is how we can live in this world, but at the same time not take completely affected by the external circumstances around us. So before I conclude, I just wanted to bring about the point of good association, and we hear that six loving exchanges, one of them is exchanging prasadam, and I thought of sharing this particular quote from Srila Prabhupada. Arjun Sakha Prabhu sent this This is about serving prasadam. And this way of serving prasadam to devotees is a good way of getting association with them. So what are the do's and don'ts? Srila Prabhupada has mentioned. All of them to be served should be invited to sit on a floor, and prasadam should be served by qualified devotees. Those who are served should be very clean, peaceful and satisfied. Serve the just the right amount so that nothing is wasted. Seniors should be served first. Householders should serve the guest. Old people and children should be served first. Place salt and lemon on each plate before those to be served and seated. Always serve water first. Prasadam should be served in the following order. First, bitter preparations like shukta and bitter melon. Then spinach and other astringent items. Fried preparations and dal. Various spicy vegetables. Sour items. Sweet preparations. That's like the sequence. Go around serving seconds until everyone is satisfied. Don't be stingy. Don't hold anything back because you want to take it later. Prasadam is meant for distribution. Do not touch the plates with the serving spoon. Touching the plate contaminates the spoon. Don't let your fingers touch any of the preparations, even water. Salt should never be served by hand. Use a spoon. Never touch prasadam with your feet or step over it. Serve the prasadam from serving buckets. Don't drag buckets along the floor and make clanging noises with pot handles or utensils. Serve quietly. After everyone is finished honoring prasadam, clean the place immediately. This is from Srila Prabhupada's letter to Kirti Raja, November 27, 1971. We'll conclude there. We don't have time for questions. See, probably do we have 3 minutes? So, okay.
Just sitting in the world, thanks for the gifts, Mr. Prabhupada. But in a workplace environment, sometimes you have to build a rapport and you do have to be the mundane topics or current affairs or sports.
Yes.
So, how do you manage it up? You want to be the education of options, but at the same time,
yeah. The question is, if in my work environment I have to build a rapport, so I need to be aware of society. Yeah, that's what I'm... This is the question is, in my work environment, I have to build a rapport. For that, I need to be aware of what's happening in the social media and all that. How do I balance? So, one technique which is told is... You don't have to go into the details of the news. You can just subscribe to the news feeds where the entire news is not given. You just see and you get a snapshot of what's happening in the society. And you can build a good rapport with your superiors. You're trying to build rapport only with your superiors. You don't have to build rapport with... I'm not sure if you want to build rapport with your juniors. You can actually be aware of what is happening within your professional environment. Like if you are in a networking, there will be like a society or professionals who are in charge of networking. You can keep yourself up to date and say, hey, I learned this new thing. And they may think that you are a very workaholic person and that's the image they will get. So don't be worried about it. Like you are a professional and you're not going there to build your social network. So you show yourself that you are technically competent. And you want to network with people who are also technically competent. Socialization aspect is less. So that is how I am. So you can project yourself like that. And the same way when social invites come, you can say that you are a vegetarian and you need certain things to be there so that you can join that. If not, you just say sorry. And if you stick to your stand, per my personal experience, then they will say, okay, for accommodating this person, let's go to a Buddhist restaurant or something. So, but if you give in, okay, I'll adjust, alright, so then come to a bar, so then we'll give you some chips, and you may have to eat a bowl of chips which is cooked there, so. So yeah, if you are strong and if you are showing that you are more professionally inclined and less socially inclined, even in the work environment, because we are going there to work and show that you are competent, you can train others, and so in that way you build a good rapport. And they know, okay, social side, okay, he's a bit less, so don't disturb him. When professional things come, let's use him. You're not working in a HR role, are you? No. You are in a networking, so you show your professional competency. And even those abilities that you're using, if you see that this ability is given to me by Krishna, and the boss who is bossing over me, that he is in a position because Krishna has put him there. So that is why our approach, if it is very humble and others can see, and we are talented and humble, so quality and character and competence are going together, so then you will definitely make an impression. You don't have to impress others by being social. Yeah, okay. Finish there. Thank you. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.